No.
No. No.
What?
Because I was married for 2 fucking years.
You're a cunt, Brian.
Fuck you, cunt.
You're a cunt, Brian.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
Fuck you, cunt.
You're a cunt, Brian.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is episode 71 of No,
Ein
Sir,
und
I
Siebzig.
Like it. There you go. No, sir, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. No, what's señor, happening? No me gusta.
Yep. No, sir, I don't niche like it.
Nicht
haben. Today we have a very, very special guest.
Oh, thank you.
Actually, this is you are very
a big
special.
Moment.
I'm honored.
It's huge.
I'm honored.
You're the first non-comedian that we've ever had on this podcast.
Wow, this is what podcast world looks like.
Yep, it's my studio apartment. That's what it looks like.
Oh my god, this is
everybody's got their own thing. You're just in my bedroom / dining room / living room.
Carl is a writer, and he's married to a musician, and he helps her with her songs.
He's also one of the most motherfucking interesting people.
That's why I've been wanting to have Carl on for a long time, because here's what I like about Carl is Carl accesses parts of my brain that I purposely reject and push away all the time.
Like that's stupid. Get out of there.
Yeah, yeah. Like Carl, when my conversations with Carl are more vulnerable, open, optimistic than I ever am with other people. And I got walls but I feel like you have similar walls, and that's why you know how to get through them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sees those cracks and he's like, I'm going to get along over here, push along over here.
Yeah.
And then it's also, he's also like, you have an assertive vibe to you too. So it's still like, no, dude, just do it. And
yeah,
you're like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
all right.
It's not so LA like, hey, man, get in touch with yourself, man. But like, you do really focus. I mean, when I first met you, you were like taking cold dips.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. You were obsessed with Alan Watts.
Yeah, still am, yeah.
Yeah.
And with the cold dips too. I love that.
You love
stuff.
The cold dips?
Oh, yeah,
what's
yeah.
the coldest you've ever done?
There were some up in the Los Padres National Forest. There were some ponds.
Mm-hmm.
The smaller ones had ice on them. I got into a bigger one without ice.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have a thermometer, but it was damn cold. And I went and got in that.
Where
was
this?
I walked slowly in. My wife has a video of it. I slowly walked in. And when I got up to, you know, the ball sack.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was like, all right, I'm crossing a line here in life. This is going to be like my body.
Were you cupping?
No. I was just acting cool.
I thought cupping was the massage thing.
No, cupping his balls.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, because once you start to run.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he was getting cupped in an ice bath.
So, and I'm guessing a cold dip is just what it sounds like? You just submerge your entire body into like cold as fuck water?
That's right, yeah.
And what's the benefit of that?
There's so many. There's so many. You get there's a release of dopamine, serotonin.
Because your body's like, we might die, let's enjoy it.
Thank you.
Yep.
And also every like when I take cold showers too, for the most part, and every time it's time to take a cold shower, I'm like, oh, this is terrible. This sucks. There's suffering ahead. Like right before going to sleep, I'll take a cold shower. And I
most
look at,
nights you do that?
Most if I have to shower, then I usually take a cold shower because it helps me go to sleep.
And really?
And it releases dopamine, and I've got restless leg syndrome, whatever, you know, somebody made that up, but I got restless legs, and it's a dopamine imbalance. And so I take a cold shower that releases dopamine, and I don't have to jerk off to go to sleep and get rid of my...
Wow.
Yeah, dude.
This is great. Cold shower.
Cold shower.
See, I used to take cold showers, and then I dated a dude that would get super pissed. Like whenever we would shower together,
mm-hmm.
he's like, it's fucking freezing. And like, it would make it so hot. It was uncomfortable. And ever since
in Florida,
huh? It was here and on the road and in Chicago. It was
in
before.
Chicago,
yeah.
That would be a cold
you
shower.
Hussy.
Yeah. Well, it was the same dude. We just traveled
hundreds
together.
Of guys in these showers. It's so cold.
Just pick somebody out of the yard.
I wish they would have, because I liked it cold.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
like, it was always like nice. It was like refreshing. Like Maria's always jumping into that pool is fucking freezing.
Yeah.
And she'll just come out, scurry out,
yep.
jump in, blah, blah, and then get back out. And that's it. And that's her going,
right.
you know, going swimming.
Well, I get to face my fear. Like, I get to see that my mind is telling me every time. It tells me, like, that's terrible. You're nice and comfortable. Why would you do that? Don't get in there. You're going to regret it.
That's like every time I do stand-up.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then afterwards, you're like, oh, yeah, man, I was so wrong.
Yeah, and then you listen back, and you're like, no, I was right the first time.
Well, I mean, for Brian, for me, I feel good about the decision.
Yeah.
Debilitating ego over there.
Abilitating?
Debilitating.
Debilitating. I love an abilitating ego. Yeah, so tons of benefits from cold showers that I get. Like, and that one is just to be able to see that my mind is making shit up.
So I
and I laugh, like, every, almost without exception, I get out of the shower, and it's like 1 a.m., maybe I got home from work, and I took a cold shower, and I just start laughing. I just go like, oh, my God. And I'm like, what am I laughing about? It's probably like all that cocktail of neurotransmitters that got released. And also, like, I got to see the joke of my mind, which is just made up this whole thing about how it's going to suck and how now I feel so happy that I did what I didn't want to do.
Right.
You know what I've noticed is as I've gotten older, it's gotten harder to get in cold water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like that, because it's like, because I remember when I was little, I used to go into the ocean in the Pacific Northwest when I would go visit my sister. I would just go, and I would love it. I would love
it. Kids love it. Yeah,
I love it.
They don't feel temperature.
What do you mean I don't feel? I felt
how kids don't feel temperature like in the right way.
They have brown
fat. They need to be told to take off their coat, put on their coat, get out of the cold water, because they're so mind over matter. They have so much fun.
They have brown fat.
That's why it's getting harder for you. You're getting more reasonable.
I don't like it.
I know.
I feel like a broken record. They have brown fat.
Brown fat?
Yeah, they have brown fat. Like,
what's that?
When
like
little
babies
are born, they have this thing. Our fat cells, most of them, do not have mitochondria. Brown fat cells have mitochondria, which just burns. That's what makes
energy.
That's
what makes you a Jedi.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Is the brown fat. So I grew up in Puerto Rico. My body was like, well, you're not going to need this, and got rid of most of my brown fat. So I might have a little bit. Adults have maybe a little bit right at the base of their neck.
Uh-huh. That's right where my worst tattoo is.
Okay. And that's also
good,
like,
job
if you get
stabbing your brown fat, you dummy.
But when you're kids, you just jump in the water and the brown fat's like, oh, turns it on. Then you get older, you lose all that brown fat if you've not been exposed to cold over and over again. And then your body's like, oh, shit, what are we going to do? It's cold.
Dude, so...
But you can build it. You can build it back.
I took a shower today, and I was...
good!
Thank you.
That's awesome.
That's the end of my story.
Just wanted a little accolade. Thank you, guys.
I took a shower today, and I was like, I did my whole thing. I got naked. I stared at myself around the mirror and called myself a fat loser.
That's so good.
I start
it's
every
good
day.
To have a routine.
And then right when I was done giving myself a little pep talk, being your disgusting piece of shit and everybody hates you, I started to feel a rumble in the tummy.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, I might have to take a shit. And
I was going
to
say, oh, does that make you hungry when you just shave yourself? In the mirror? You're like, mmm, I shame myself into a little appetite here.
So I normally, at that moment, I would turn off the shower. And I would put my clothes back on, and I would wait for the shit until, because you don't want to shower and then shit, because you never feel fully clean.
Right.
But because of our bidet.
Oh, that's right. Brondell. You guys, this podcast is sponsored by Brondell.
But this is 100% honest. I know it sounds like we're really over-hocking.
Wait, you get dressed? Why would you get dressed?
Because I wasn't ready to shit at that moment. I knew it was coming.
Oh.
And normally
I was like, why do you get dressed to shit? I was like, that seems a little strange. I don't shit in the nude. What am I, a monster? Like,
well, no, I don't. I don't shit in the nude.
Put on work boots?
Yes. Put on my Wolverine
work boots. I'm
about
to put in
boots.
Some work. Yeah. I dress for the occasion.
A growler.
I'm like DMX, dude. I only shit in Timberlands. But I with four Rottweilers in the bathroom. But no, I
growl the shit out of you. All right, think I'm done.
What? But I couldn't not. I was so excited because I was like, I don't care when I have to shit because I have a little ass shower waiting for me, so it doesn't matter because I never feel clean after I shit. Like, it's almost like I don't know, unless I shower.
Right.
And like, that's what I do when I'm on the road. I shower four or five times when I'm on the road because I'm not paying the water bill, and I shit, you know, I'm eating road food, so yeah, you know, it's all cookout and shit like that. Mm-hmm. So, but I know it sounds like we're selling the shit out of these Brondell things, but like, this bidet is the greatest thing.
I'm not gonna lie, it's changed your demeanor.
Carl's putting down the mic to go look at the bidet.
It's beautiful. There's a remote stuck to the wall next to it as well. Yeah, we're serious. It has changed your demeanor. Like when you come over and stuff, like you are, I'm not gonna lie, like a nicer person.
It's unbelievable. My asshole has been itching for 12
years.
Who
knew just a little water and a little water pressure could change the outlook of a man's life.
Well, I would have been late for this podcast because I would have been waiting for the shit.
Oh.
And then I still would have had to shower.
Right, right.
And then I would have texted you and been like, sorry, I lost my keys.
Right. It would have been something. They're up your ass is what happened. Yeah.
Carl, I could see in the mirror. So Carl is unbuttoning himself.
Yeah, and close there the door. Give yourself a little test run.
The door. You got the mirror on. What a hippie.
I'm so glad, man. I wanted somebody to use a guest to use
with the door open.
Not necessarily with the door open. We could we're live.
we're live podcasting. Somebody using, oh, there, look at the joy in his face.
Oh yeah, yeah, there's a, you can dry your butt with it. There's,
you thought you released
dryer.
Dopamine before, dog.
Yeah. Who knew you could get dopamine from your butt?
He closed the door. He's jerking off. He's definitely jerking off. Is this the first live jerk off on the podcast?
Live shit, live jerk off, the entire thing.
God damn, I didn't realize you were Gigi Allen, dude. I thought you were.
There's different temperatures. If you like warm water, you can get cold water. There's warm and
spray
hot water.
With?
Yeah, you could. Spray, yeah, yeah, you can change the temperature. You can change the position.
I put it all on 10, except I put it ice cold.
What is wrong with
you? I put the
you?
Widest blast and the hardest blast. And then I just fuck
oh, that's
with the
good.
Nozzle.
It's not the direct.
The
direct
nozzle
one is
goes
a little
up
too
up and
much.
Down. Yeah, it's like I go for an ice scraper shape
yeah.
with the thing, and then I just go up and down. I go beep, 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 and it just goes up and down like a
man,
windshield
wiper.
Man,
that's like a really good process. I never thought about doing it like that, like waves of water over your butt.
Oh, what do you
How
think,
do you
Carl?
Feel?
Oh, that's whatever you paid for that, or you know whatever you have to pay for that.
Yes,
would be worth it. And,
yeah, like, you know
I feel,
what?
I feel blessed.
Carl's saying full price would be worth it, but you can get 20% off with promo code No Sir. I'm good at this.
I've
dude.
Never seen Tank. You care about a thing so much. You know?
It's
wonderful. So great.
It's
great, isn't it?
It reminds me of being a child and mom has just wiped my butt
mm-hmm.
and then she blows it dry. She's like,
wait,
and she's like, and
yeah,
blowing
if you
in the butt.
If you got
how are you old enough to remember that?
Well, you know what?
How
I don't
old
know,
were you
I
when she was blowing on your hiney? Carl, is this a traumatic memory? Are you?
That's a very pleasant.
He's like, hell
it's
no,
a
it was
pleasant,
good as
loving memory. But yeah. You know, it might not be a memory. Yeah, you know, I probably
was this
just,
back when you were drinking and you were 29.
Are you my mom?
Oh boy! Wow, live bidet use right on the.
That's
podcast.
Awesome!
Unbelievable!
Thanks for doing that.
I washed my hands.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter if you washed your
I
hands.
I know
you
because
didn't
you didn't have
use
to
the bidet.
You wipe your butt.
I just thought it would be polite because I went in that room and then I came out. So I thought I'd.
Do you feel like there's a lot of pressure? Okay.
I still check. I just still wipe and check at the very end.
You know what's funny is Preacher was doing this joke that they was bombing a lot, where he was talking about you ever be in the public bathroom and somebody walks in and you're like, fuck now. Well, he didn't say fuck, but he's like, shoot, now I got to wash my hands. And I agree with that so much.
No, I wash my hands every single time.
I feel like my dick is the cleanest thing in a public bathroom.
It's not
so
just
if
your
I'm
dick,
just
if you're, but if you're
dick.
Shitting in the public bathroom.
But we're talking about peeing.
Oh, why? You have to specify because maybe that's why it's bombing is you say somebody's in the bathroom. Now I have to wash my if you shit anywhere, you should wash your hands, especially in the public restroom.
Well, I understand exactly what he was saying. Like every time I'm in the bathroom and like somebody walks in and all I've done is piss. First of all, I've been pissing for 33 years. I don't piss on my hands.
See, apples and oranges though. Shitting to pissing. I mean, that's different.
Yeah, but I'm not. I didn't even consider shitting.
But if you had, if you were like, say, you were working all day at the.
Also, he's vegan. His shit's probably come out like little pebbles.
He's rabbit shits.
Yeah, leaves the little boop, messes. Boop, boop, boop. Do you eat meat?
Yeah, I do.
You do.
Hell yeah, dude.
Do you hunt?
Hell yeah.
Weren't we talking about wanting to shoot a boar with an arrow?
Yeah.
We were talking about that.
I made a bow. I was doing archery practice.
Wait, you made the bow and arrow?
Out of PVC. It's like a weak little thing. I mean.
Holy
it
shit.
Would, it would.
I feel like that would be stronger, no?
I don't know. Sounds a little LARPy.
You can make it
a little live action
role
play.
It does look like a LARPy. But it can be, and it's a very crappy arrow that I made out of a dowel rod.
Yeah.
But I made one, but I'm hoping to move towards. I mean, if culture and civilization last long enough, I hope to have bow and arrow. Go out to Riverside County and hunt.
We talked about
wild
that.
Boar. That would be. It doesn't have to happen, but it's nice to have something to shoot for.
A boar? I'd love.
Oh, the goal of.
I would love to go shoot a boar with an arrow.
Yeah,
that sounds fun.
I think it's dangerous too. Like, there's
because you got to finish them off.
Well, and
you're probably not killing them.
Wild
with the
boars
arrow.
Are really they're smart.
Yep.
They're fast and they're strong and they get these big
tusks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a buddy, his name was Mitch, he was an MMA guy back in Florida, and he wasn't an annoying MMA guy, he just wanted to learn how to fight, it's really the most, he's trying to go back to all the primal shit, so he goes out in the forest and he hunts his own food, and he grows his own vegetables, and he eats his own, he cultivates his own shit, and then
Sounds like the door guy that fell in love with you in Louisville.
You remember that? Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that guy.
There's this big manly dude who talks all about the shit Carmen's just talking about, and he was in love with Carmen.
Yeah. He never had a broad yell at him. That's what it is. He wants to come over with a huge fucking dead pig over his shoulder and then be like, what the fuck? And he's like, oh, it was all worth it.
He had a big wad of dip in his mouth, and he had big puppy dog eyes.
Yep. I can see that.
Also one of those waitresses had a crush on me for a second or something, and then the owner goes up to me and goes, she's 19. And I was like, I didn't fucking touch her. I didn't even look at her.
Yeah, I didn't know she was there.
We haven't talked for more than 2 seconds. Don't yell at me like I'm a creep because she had a crush.
Your poor face, man. It's so unfair.
I know.
How old are you?
I'm 33. But Carl's that math works out.
No, I mean, that.
Ain't going to jail for that.
I'm not touching
this. But it's just that, presumption. You know what I mean? Ugh. So, Carl, what...
As a person who is a centered and has their shit together...
Oh, God, no.
No. This is what I love about Carl.
Yeah.
Is that it's the pursuit of that stuff, but he's not there yet.
Yeah.
Because if you were there, I wouldn't like you.
No.
I only like them when they're not done yet.
Yeah, I think it's a process. Exactly. That's a static view. Is if I would that would be ego. That's an idea of myself. But
right.
I mean, ego or my idea of myself is always static. But it has nothing to do with what's true. What's actually going on.
Mm. So what brought you? Okay, the first thing on your list I'm seeing here. I don't know if I wrote it down the right way, but you said something about the golden rule versus the golden reason.
Right.
I added the verses because that's how I think. Everything's a fight.
A battle. Yeah.
Golden rule versus the golden
rule. I think
reason.
I said that too. I said that.
You did?
What's, yeah. Okay. So what's
so
the
we know the golden rule is, right? You know what it is.
What is it?
It's treat others the way you want to be treated.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know that rule.
Yeah.
You've heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But it sounds like a pain in the ass. This is my problem with it. It sounds like something I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And something that's you have to do this.
Because of the word rule?
You can go and do whatever you want, but then, you can't have fun when it comes to other people. You have to, sit there and figure things out. And how would I like to be treated?
Right.
And it seems like doing calculus or something
right.
that.
Right. It's not organic.
Which it is. I mean, I'm selfish, and sometimes I have to, really put a lot of effort into it. But the thing I have a problem with is the reason... that I'm supposed to do that is not because God's going to hate me and God's going to punish me if I don't.
Right.
It's because I am only experiencing myself when I, when I look into your big, beautiful eyes, Brian.
One of those words was right.
I'm only experiencing,
they're big.
I'm experiencing my projection of you.
Right.
It's always me. I don't,
it also,
I only,
it also doesn't
that.
Make any sense because that only works if everybody is adhering to it.
I don't think it does.
What do you mean? How so?
Because
treat others the way you want to be treated. If not everybody is doing it, then you're treating people kindly while they are not treating you kindly.
And then I'd be giving everybody
giving away
a Netflix
my
special.
That's giving away my power though. That's saying this is just all a game. It's not true or anything, but I just like to believe this, that I like to act like this is true, that it's all in my, like, the power is all mine if I want to be happy. If that depends on how other people act, then that's not within my power. You know, like, I can't control other people.
Right.
So I'm not going to be, you know, not going to be happy. And I'm not, you know, this is just me talking about ideals and stuff.
Sure,
I'm shooting
of course.
For. But,
so then so what's the other thing?
The golden reason.
The golden reason is that you are me. Like, I'm talking, like, right now we're sitting in
is this
podcast
a thing
world.
That people are familiar with?
Is this a
with?
Joseph Campbell thing? Like, the we're
the
all,
soup guy?
The we're all, no. The idea, the hero within, that we're all part of the divine. You have to be kind to each other because we're all God.
That's it. I mean, I think that's how absolutely every religion starts, is with this thing. Yes.
Wait, but the golden reason, is this like, because when you said the golden rule, I knew exactly what you're talking about, treat others. Is the golden reason another like
the no,
cliche?
That's my idea. That's
your, okay,
that's
your
my
thing.
Idea. Yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah. Okay. So the reason we do the golden rule is because I am only experiencing myself. Like, I only experience my projection of the world. Mm-hmm. And if I want to live in a happy, loving universe that takes care of me, that's within my power. All I have to do is act loving, period. Full stop. Act loving. And I'm guaranteed to be loving myself.
Do you believe that?
I believe that. That's my, the other thing I hate is the conflation between believing and thinking something's
oh,
true.
Oh, right, 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 right. I just used a very specific word for Carl. We'll get into believing and thinking.
Are yeah, but get... I do. I believe that and I think that too. I mean,
you
I think what
that.
I think is, I think that when I think that, that's how I experience life.
Really?
It's like getting in the shower, in the cold shower. Like, before I do it, I'm like, this is never going to work. And then I start, if I do choose to start treating people lovingly as if they were me, I start really enjoying myself, and it's counterintuitive. But it's,
so isn't that all, like, placebo stuff? Like, you just, because you believe that it will work, then your mind creates the experience that it is working?
I think placebos are underrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It totally convinces people that they are being cured of illnesses and, like, I mean, it's the same idea of, like, the New Age woo stuff that we always make fun of and stuff like mm-hmm. that. I think a lot of times it's just somebody believing that this crystal is making things feel better.
Yeah, I think.
But I mean, it's.
I find that stuff.
What?
I don't like that stuff at all. Like, the crystals and stuff like mm-hmm. that. Like, that.
Yep, but yep. Maybe that's the thought before mm-hmm. you get into the shower.
Yeah.
Is what I mean. I mean, I think it's all ridiculous too. It's they're rocks, you know.
Right, right.
And they're all, you know, elements, part of the earth, blah blah blah.
So you said, isn't it just placebo? Like, all I'm experiencing, I'm only experiencing the mind. Like, that's all I'm experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
So placebo is like I'm. That's all there is.
Yeah.
You know, it's also placebo that you know, that I have pain. Like, culture teaches me to avoid pain. That's one. You know, like my uh-huh. organism does also to keep it alive. But culture is like, oh my god, that hurt. You got to write a story about how much that hurt and how that's going to affect the rest of your day.
Yeah, we
like
obsess
that.
Over pain
oh, yes.
because it's supposed to keep us avoiding it. It's supposed to keep us alive. But
people
going
think that's
through
comedy now,
yeah,
is here's my pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they don't. It's the overcoming the pain that's supposed to be the fucking story, mm-hmm. and that's the part that's missing. That's why it's just here's all of the horrific things that have happened to me. The end.
Yeah.
And it's like, so then people just watch it and it's like, there's no real catharsis because just like you watch a really emotionally stirring film or mm-hmm. something like that. Then at the end of it, there is resolution. Oh, I can overcome even though pain exists, because that's the other thing too, is it's inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
That's what doesn't make any sense, is for people to be so scared of it, but we can't go through life without it.
I know.
So it's like, it should be more accepting. Like, pain will exist whether I try, whether it's self-inflicted, mm. whether it's inflicted by others. And then the strength of you getting over it and existing and like allowing yourself to be happy after it happens, that's the shit that's fucking interesting. Not the fact that you have pain. Anybody that thinks that they're special because anything painful has happened to them are the most idiotic people to me on the planet, because they're never looking anywhere else other than inside.
We all have that aunt and uncle. You know,
yeah, like where it's just like everything's always happening to me. Oh, wow.
Yeah, this only happens to me. Of course, this happens to me.
Figures.
That gets real egocentric.
That's my life. And it's like, no, you're defining your life by only the increments of pain that have existed in it,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the things that you've achieved outside of it.
That's another game to play. I mean, it's as long as it keeps them out of trouble, I got no problem with it.
Fucking Carl.
God damn it, Carl. It's fine, but it's annoying, Carl. That's what it is.
And you don't like it. No, sir.
Okay, here's some here's a thing I think is really interesting in how you think, Carl. When I said, do you believe that? You said, yes, I do believe that. But I forgot. We've had a conversation about the word believe and the word think.
Right, right.
And
I haven't been a part of this conversation. Why don't you guys tell us about it?
Last night by the dumpster in the alley.
Yeah, we were talking
classics.
About
where you have the most that's where all my
every important moment in my life has happened near a dumpster in an alley. It's 100% true.
It's a beautiful place.
Uh-huh. And what? Tell me about your thoughts about the word believe.
So, well, belief, I looked it up on etymology online, and their best guess is it comes from the Proto-Indo-European through German, meaning to love. Like, so if I believe something, I love that. Like, if I believe an idea, that doesn't mean to me, if I take it in that sense, the word believe in that sense, that doesn't mean I think it's true. It just means I love that idea.
Right, like Liebe, ich liebe dich, the Beatles song, I love you, Liebe. Yeah. It does not mean I love dick, which is what I thought it meant for a long time. I was like, wow, progressive Beatles, 1964, ich liebe dich. It means, to love. And I think that's such a nuanced concept that just modern American English speaking people really don't. A lot of languages have those kind of words where, like, to say I believe in God, I love to think that God is real, is such a more reasonable thing to say than I know God is real.
Yeah,
like he's one over there. And without ego.
yeah. I love that
the
idea.
I know is just this, like, it's also an I'm right because I know that he's here, and it's also a kind of virtue signaling because it's like I'm on the good team. I know he's real. He likes me more than he likes you. Like, that's also all of those, you know, like.
Well, it starts teams. It makes teams when you start saying I know something. As opposed to when you use the word belief to be no, then you start to wearing uniforms.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly my problem with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is. Yeah. Yeah.
I get it 100%. And I think that that's like words mean something. And I think especially with like texting and digital communication, words are meaning less and less and less. And the reason why they mean something is so that we can accurately express our thoughts and what's really going on. And so getting back to the real root of that word belief, I think is important.
Mm-hmm. But that's the other thing,
too. I never knew it until he told me it by the dumpster.
This is my idea. I haven't heard anybody else go like, hey, this is a big deal. But I just hate that.
But it's
that,
also,
that we don't have a distinction for that. And then people are like, I believe this. That's stupid. There's no guy in the sky. And, somebody, and some people might be just going like, God, he doesn't like the way I like to be happy and see the world as a loving place.
Yeah, I believe the Green Bay Packers are going to win the Super Bowl every year. Because I am in love with that idea.
Yeah.
Right.
But
I get that so much.
But that, I think that's where a lot of the problem lies, is people aren't using the actual definition of the word belief. Mm-hmm. You know? And I think that's where in the digital communication, everything is, the nuance is lost. Like, I believe in this idea. I believe in this concept. I love the idea of it existing. It makes me feel joy. That is it's a way more pleasant conversation than God is real and you're an idiot if you don't fucking think so.
Right.
Or God isn't real, you're an idiot for thinking so. Either they're both equally ignorant.
Yeah. I would venture to say that it's happened way before there's any kind of digital technology. I mean, this is like, I think this is what happens immediately. Like we had said, you know, you'd say, what's the golden rule or the golden reason?
Right.
The golden reason, like, is that Joseph Campbell you had said. Like, I think whatever it is that is behind the golden reason, however you say it.
Well, it's your concept. So if you could summarize the golden reason, what is the phrasing?
I would say there's no concept behind it. There's not. That's the problem. And that's,
you
that's
love the nothing.
The nothing. Yeah.
The nothing. No, from nothing. The fucking
never-ending story. Never-ending story. He roots for the bad guys.
wait. So yeah, wait. You were going to talk about this last night at the dumpster.
Was I?
Yeah. You said, have you ever seen the never-ending story?
Oh, so. What happened? I mean, this is very, it's a very different use of the word nothing. It's that
David Bowie was in that, right?
No, that's
no,
Labyrinth.
That was Labyrinth. Okay, I retract
same
that.
Movie. But there's the theme of the Neverending Story is that the nothing is consuming the planet.
Yes,
that they live
which
on,
which is complacency, lack of creativity,
loss of imagination,
loss of imagination,
and stagnant thinking.
Yeah,
and as the imagination dies.
Yeah,
the environment dies.
Yeah,
and everything consumes you. Mm-hmm. So the nothing is a bad thing,
right?
In this movie,
yeah. Well,
the nothing is a good thing to you. How is nothing good?
I'd say nothing is neither good
it's,
nor
yeah,
bad.
There's no value.
Yeah,
statement.
There's no value, but it's perfect peace. Like nothing is perfect.
Yeah,
like,
that's nothing, why death is a blessing.
Yeah, death is a blessing, but we're like whatever put us here makes us afraid of it, so that we have an exciting, spicy time here and go like, oh my God, we're going to die someday. This is going to be terrible and I'm going to suffer forever. And when actually it's just exactly what we're looking for.
Wow. Where were you when I was 6 years old? Crying nightmares about
that. Oh, yeah, yeah. This comes from, I've read these ideas in every religion I've studied and philosophy that I've liked. Taoism says it the best. Like you can only say what the Tao is not. You can't say what it is. You can't say anything. So there's a whole book about
what it isn't.
And then he says some things that it is. He's like, oh, and it's fluid and stuff like that. But
it's come.
It's
nice.
Come. Yep.
That's what I think
that's
of
hard
when
to argue
I hear
with.
The word fluid.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. 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 So. Nothing. Yeah. So we've wrapped that up in a nice package. Everything is nothing. So but this comes to me from I've read about this and heard about this and other, you know, Joseph Campbell talking about the divine and stuff. And it logically it's all the same thing. Like, what's God? Is God eternal? Like, eternal means without beginning and without end. Eternal means like without terminus, like without an end.
Sure.
And that means it can't have a beginning either.
Right.
If it doesn't have an end, because like if I'm at from a road, you know, there's a road from here to the mall, which one's the beginning? Which side is the beginning of the road?
Right. Yeah. We used to have this argument when I moved to Georgia from Maine, and people would always say the Appalachian Trail started in Georgia.
Right.
And I was like, no, it starts in Maine. It ends here.
Right.
And I really believe that.
Nuh-uh.
No,
it goes the other way, because that's the way I wanted to go.
I started in Maine, and I ended in Georgia.
Clearly. So what's God? God's like eternal. That means he's absolutely everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like that means nothing.
Do you think to say
eternal means nothing? It's the same thing logically.
Do you think we like to believe in God as it being eternal because we are not?
I think
of something the opposite of us seems grandiose and like
perfect.
Yeah,
I would say
nothing.
I would say
like
that we are eternal. I'd say because we don't. Can you point to your beginning, like where you started?
Yeah, like San Francisco brainwash open mic.
So that doesn't exist.
Or like you
it actually
you,
doesn't.
An,
it's
that's
actually
an idea
closed
in your head.
What about your conception? Your conception and your death. Those things.
I'm experiencing that my conception right now. Like that's within me. If I am confused by like strictly speaking. If I'm confused, and I get confused all day long in exactly this, but thinking that the idea is the thing, then I will think there is a past and I'll think there's a future. But actually, I only have right now thinking there is. I have the idea of a past and a future.
Wait, but you lost me with when you said that the brainwash open mic is an idea and doesn't exist. Or whatever. You said that's an idea in my head. When you said, where did you start? I said, open mic in
In San Francisco. Right. Oh, I didn't hear that it was an open mic. I thought it was you're saying you were born there, but you were over in...
I was making a joke about where I started comedy.
Comedy, right.
Right. But, and then, so I thought you heard me right, and you were just saying that, like, everything we're doing is just an idea and doesn't actually exist. Is that not what you were saying?
Well, that's not what I was saying.
Okay,
so I was saying, like,
right,
you were saying, you were referencing the past.
Sure.
And I was saying, like, that's an idea right now that you're experiencing.
Right.
And that's what's true.
So that means it's in the present because we're currently thinking about it?
The idea is in the present.
Here's my question for you, though, because I have a lot of respect for these mental quests you're constantly trying You're searching. You're trying to find something. What are you running from?
I've found it. I am running. Like, I have my own demons and stuff that run me around the block. But I find such solace. Like, I've finally found. Like, I was a missionary kid and going, like, I saw these grown-ups praying. I'm like, what are they praying
to? Missionary kid in Puerto Rico.
In Puerto Rico, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what are they praying to? Like, this guy that they're praying to, he's got all the answers, and he's a dick. Because look at all these people that are suffering. They're scared. I'm scared.
Yep.
And because I've got a bunch of adults that are holding hands and pretending like they're talking to somebody that's obviously not here. What's going on?
Sure. I had that same fear in the Catholic Church when I was a little kid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bizarre. Yeah. We would all round up and hold hands. And I would just look at these adults bowing their heads and be like, I know you as you go throughout the day. I know when you think you're talking to someone. You don't think you're talking to anybody right now.
Absolutely. It's performative.
Performative. Yeah, that was a social. It was a social function, I think. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh, we're supposed
to
pray
right
now.
It's also a sense of community a lot of times. And I think there's a lot of times people don't really want this quest. They want just answers given to them. So they'll just accept this belief. If they were like, oh, you love that, I'll love that too, because I don't really have or don't want to challenge that, because I don't either care or sometimes have the brain power to really come up with something different. So it's like this belief is easy to digest, or easy enough to digest, as opposed to challenge.
I think there's something there. I think that's how culture comes together. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Is around, we say somebody plants a flag and we go like, okay, yeah, all
right.
Right. That's the good. That's what's good is that flag. Mm-hmm. And then all the horrible things happen because of that. But all the good things too. Because, I mean, if it wasn't for the travesty of civilization, we'd just be sitting there eating twigs and berries.
Right.
I'm a petite man. And, yes. You know, somebody would have killed me a long time ago and eaten me, you know, and put my skull up somewhere, my tiny little skull.
I know so many people, and you got to think about the circles I've traveled in. Some of them are very similar to yours. Like, I've been in the military. You're in the Air Force. I have toured endlessly in bands. Mm-hmm. You tour with your wife, who's a musician. And I know so many comedians, and so many of them, not myself included, but like so many of them were raised in really all-encompassing religious beginnings.
Yeah.
And I really think it fucks a kid up. And I've heard people talk about, I don't know who it was, but you know, you can tell a kid about the Tooth Fairy, about Santa Claus, and about God, and they can learn that the Tooth Fairy isn't really doing what they said. There is no Tooth Fairy, there is no Santa, it's your parents or whatever. But you can never fully unlearn that initial concept of God that they put over you. And how they do it. Like, you can't, like, that lives with you your entire life.
I think that was why I feel really gracious that I didn't really have that. Because my dad was on, like, he didn't know what the hell he was. And my mom was like, I don't believe any of this shit. So it was like, I didn't really have the full immersion of anything. Like, my dad, I remember he took me to a Catholic church once. And then I remember him studying with Jehovah's Witnesses. And I remember, like seeing like this, the other people fully immersed in these ideas, and then me being like, this doesn't make a lot of sense to me,
right?
You know, and so I never had the fear that you guys are talking about. I just was like, no, you know what I mean,
right?
And then and I would still be like, the idea of God was fascinating, and I remember like for a while like praying and like having my own ideas and ahead of my own. Like, I remember one time my Frankie Saito, her and I were just talking about religion in general, much like we're like having a conversation right now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I think Jesus was a really misunderstood guy. I think he was just walking around going, hey dude, don't worship me. I just, this idea is that, like, the idea of my dad or whatever is, it's all about love and we all need to love each other and stuff like that. And then people were like, no, you're the dude. We got to worship you. You're the fucking dude. And he was like, God damn it. Mm-hmm. And then him fighting with that ends up getting him killed. Like, I created my own narrative for Jesus as opposed to it being what this book said.
Yeah. And it empowered you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it was just like the freedom that. To have those outside thoughts as opposed to it being having like people or adults tell you that's blasphemous. You can't mm-hmm. think like that. Like that would have been incredibly stifling mm-hmm. in the realm of critical thought. You're just having critical. These are possibilities.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
These are things that have tortured me my whole life. Like when I was in CCD, well, that's Sunday school for Catholics.
No, oh, okay. I had no idea what that was.
And there,
I was like, is that a rehab disease. Center?
Yeah. the Center of Disease Control. When I was raised, when I had to go to the CDC, CCD, excuse me, there would be like a goody good two shoe who would listen and like say the right answers mm-hmm. and get this like positive reinforcement for participating in the process, even mm-hmm. though I'm like, you don't believe this shit.
You're just regurgitating.
And it's the same thing that happened when I've told the story a million times, told on stage, told on the podcast. It'll never not drive me crazy when that dude, Critty Upchurch in eighth grade, played the girl Melissa. The song Melissa by the Allman Brothers, and said he wrote it for her. I had a crush on Melissa backstory. Oh. And then I said, you didn't write that story. The Allman Brothers wrote that song. And everybody's like, you ruin everything, Brian. Even though this guy is the guy stealing the
song.
He's
hacking the shit. And just because you call him out, you're an asshole.
They're all choosing to believe this thing, this mm-hmm. moment. And I'm just like, none of you believe this. You're playing a part. How can you do that and go to sleep? I don't get it. And that's shit that's driven me crazy my entire life.
I think that's how you guys are of service as comedians, is you destroy meaning.
Yes.
And you create the potential for new meaning.
That must be the what it is.
The cross you have to bear is that what you're feeling,
you're
the
alone.
Cross that you have to bear right now.
It's fucking lonely.
It is. It's so lonely.
But it's just like, I just don't get how everybody can be like, all right, we're going to hold hands and pretend we're going to play this part, when I'm like, no, this is real life. We're not on stage right now. When I go on stage, I play the part. But like when I'm off stage, it's reality. It's reality. Like,
but that you being on stage is somebody else's reality. It's just not real to you.
Skepticism in his eyes.
What is reality?
It's anything that's bad.
Fair enough.
Anything I don't want to participate in, anything that's difficult.
No. I want to participate in it. Uh-huh. No, it's just all the bad things. That's the only thing that's real. Homelessness, starvation, disease, that's all real. And then when you're coming and you're loving, that's all a distraction from reality.
Right? Okay, yeah. So this is all the parts are, it's the puzzle's coming together.
I was doing yoga this morning. Shut up, everybody. And the yoga instructor on YouTube was just like...
Is that why you still have your yoga pants on?
I'm wearing jeans, everybody.
Tell that to you, the pussy outline we can see in those pants.
Nice camel knuckle.
Can you see my pussy? Is my pussy really showing? There's like a baby coming out of it.
Just one little arm. Hi.
No, but I was doing some stuff this morning. I was stretching, and the stuff instructor said things like,
he can't even admit into a microphone. You were fine talking about it before we started recording, but now that other people are going to know about it, I am not a little bitch.
The stuff instructor said things like, you can do this. This is positive. Like, mm-hmm. imagine the this is the first step to transforming your life, blah, mm-hmm. blah. And I was like, I want a yoga, because I can't absorb that. I want a yoga instructor who's like,
silliness.
This isn't going to work. You're fat. This is disgusting. You're probably not even doing this right. I can't see
you. You're probably
you.
Just watching me tell you to do this.
Yeah, yeah. You're in the like child pose or whatever, the one where you're on all four. And I bet your fucking fat stomach is still touching the ground. Like, I would like that kind of yoga instructor.
A negative reinforcement yoga instructor?
Yeah. I think that would be easier for me to do it.
Doesn't that go the against of the ideas where yoga's from?
I can relate to that.
You can?
See that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's what's going on in your head.
Right.
And then that would, if somebody was saying that, then he would go, oh, I'm not alone.
I'm not alone, but then you have something to push off against. You have something to rebel against. Like, I can get into this pose. I can do this. See, motherfucker? Like, it's also too.
It is. It's my whole life is saying fuck you in circles. And I agree that like, if... oh, really? Okay. I'm going to fucking look like Tony Atlas. Mm-hmm. What am I, 75 years old? How did I pull Tony... You know who Tony Atlas is, right?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Barges with his teeth.
Yeah.
Is he like Rand McNally? Did he write the first Atlas?
I had a reference to Swimmer recently. recently. And I had to reference a swimmer on stage. I said Johnny Weissmuller, who played Tarzan in the 40s. I was like, what is wrong with me? I just watched so much old shit when I was a kid that my references are like Buddy Buddy Hackett would be like, they're a little outdated.
But what was the guy's name?
Johnny Weissmuller. He was an Olympic swimmer in the 30s. That's right. Yeah, and he played Tarzan. He played
a big upside down triangle.
Yeah. I don't know where this shit comes from, but I'm so irrelevant.
But that's the shit that really upsets me, something that I really don't like, is people not accepting that negative reinforcement works for some people. The whole, it has to be positive all the time. Like, the idea that that's when it becomes a distraction, is when you don't even acknowledge the other side and how it can be effective. Again, how pain can motivate you.
I mean, the entire military is based off negative reinforcement, wouldn't you say? Well, I don't know. You're in the Chair Force.
I'd say culture is like. Well, I mean, but yeah. I'd say saying something is good that creates bad. That draws a circle around it and goes
when
like,
you start
separate from the rest
things?
Of the universe. Valuing things, not valuing in general towards my experience. I think that's appropriate. But when I put value on a thing, something that starts and stops.
So when gold
that's
worth
where,
something,
that's where my suffering comes in.
When you make gold worth something, you make dirt worth nothing. Kind of yeah. thing. That was bad. That was really bad. I'll leave.
These walks are shinier than these walks.
I'm participating in a conversation. God, yeah, shitty analogies.
I would say
man, that yoga's really fucking you up, dude.
I know. Okay, but yes, yeah. I mean, like
when you make one thing this, the other thing is not.
Yeah, it creates that's duality that gets into the world.
But
duality.
That's my point is like trying these people that try to be ultra positive and only good vibes, like how it is in a lot of fucking California, it's delusional. It's delusional in trying to create this narrative of like just avoiding and not acknowledging that negativity is part of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And when you don't see it, then do you not trust those people? You're like, where are you coming from?
Yes.
I don't understand.
Who have you raped and not told anybody about? You know what I mean? Like, who are you a monster to behind closed doors? Like, as opposed to
we're talking about Bill Cosby.
Sure, I mean that's a perfect example.
I know.
See, you got some good analogies,
you
but
put
it's the same idea.
Bill into the Diet Coke.
The pill was in the Coke. Oh, Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Because he was
that'd be a funny
spokesman.
Way to drug somebody. He put something in my cocaine. Like, all right, darling. Well, let's start with why are you doing cocaine with Bill Cosby?
There's a line and there's just a full gel tab of something in the line.
You didn't tell me
this will get him.
Boy, they're easy to fool.
Yeah. It's like a gusher.
That's what I'm saying. Just a huge ass purple pill in this line of cocaine. I'll get you.
Chunky.
He put drugs in my drugs.
And then there's just a gel tab sticking out of somebody's nose. Oh, I'm sorry. That's so stupid.
Yes, but those blatantly positive people.
Thank God for them.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you'd be out of work.
What do you mean? No, there's so many things.
If somebody wasn't around creating meaning, then you wouldn't have meaning to
destroy. Oh, look at you. Look at you. Aren't you clever? You're right. When you're right, you're right. I hit
God
a wall.
Damn
That's
it.
Why I got mean. When somebody's right, I'm mean. You're 100% right. Yes, every time I have an interaction with somebody. Well, you know what's funny is actually I've stumbled across this concept before because I have seen people in a situation. Okay, I was in a 7-Eleven and this black dude got accused of stealing.
Meanwhile, you had your pockets full of shit.
I was not stealing at the moment. Believe me, I believe that's my first thought is open door. A walking smoke screen just came in. But that's not what I was thinking. But he swore he didn't steal or whatever. And they accused him of stealing, whatever. He didn't. And I looked at him and I go, dude, you could get like 300 likes. You could go viral tonight if you post this story on Facebook. Like, I was like, you get like 300 likes for this experience. Like, you know, and just really ham it up. Like, you know, as a black man, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And he laughed so so hard. And he shook my hand.
Oh, man.
And he was like, you're right, you're right. And then he gets to the car, he goes, this motherfucker's so stupid. And I guarantee you he did it.
I hope so. Yeah, why yeah. wouldn't he?
It was in Van Nuys at a 7-Eleven. And but like I have, yeah, I understand that like somebody giving you a raw deal and then you can just fucking use that as a gift if you call social media likes a gift. But
well, and it's also being positively reinforced after something negative happens to you. So it's almost like it forms a whole circle. By you telling people what happened, all of these people are showering you with positivity.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So
I mean,
it's
that's
like,
why there's so many fucking lies on the internet. So many lies or exaggerations about struggle and stuff is so that people can be like, girlfriend, you're strong.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, not really.
You can
if you
do
had
it,
to
dude.
Make up
yeah.
a lie to get a
yeah.
little validation.
I'm so sorry that happened to you, bro. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Carl,
poor Carl.
Carl has a lot of skepticism in his brow. Your brow is furrowed.
Yeah, I can't control that thing. I don't know what it's doing.
Are you having a hard time?
No. I'm just thinking. You're just stimulating a lot of thoughts in my head.
Yeah, that's what. And that's like, the yeah. tough thing about a podcast is that when you have conversations with Carl, there's a lot of silence. And, you know? There's a lot of reflection and then a response. And we're filling all the air right now.
Oh, man. I can talk more. I'd love to talk. Oh, my God.
Give me something.
Okay, yeah, man. Yeah, what's on this list here?
I only wrote the two things down.
Oh, damn.
But this is my list, not yours.
So I can. So I've been pretty passive here and not, like, interjecting and stuff because I've been polite. I've been being polite.
Why?
I just realized that. Because that's my weakness. Like, I
well, you have 8 minutes to cut us
oh
off.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks yeah. for getting me. That's one of the reasons I look forward to talking to you guys. Like, yes. I really care about what other people think about me. And yeah. it doesn't serve me.
No,
and so I've been that was one of the main reasons I said I was scared about coming on. You're like, don't be scared. And I was like, he doesn't know why I'm scared. It's because you guys, you have this in this context. You don't seem to care what people think of you.
No,
you know, like you just celebrate it. Like
yeah.
if your fear of it and stuff.
Explain the furrowed brow.
Just that words are all lies. Like words are always supposed to stand for something, but we get. Our mind goes, like, once we mm-hmm. distinguish something, we have a word for it,
mm-hmm.
and then it's a thing, and it's separate from the rest of the universe. Mm-hmm. It's not, that's not true. I mean, in the world, in the tax-paying world, in the world of duality, yeah, it is true. But in my experience, and I think in where I can find relief from suffering, is in recognizing that all words are lies, and no word can really... convey the truth.
I agree 100%.
Okay.
Which is
well,
why...
damn it, then we don't have nothing to...
Well, here, but no, it doesn't matter. We can agree and still talk.
Okay.
I'm not going to fake... I mean, Carmen will do that to me all the time just for fun, fake disagree with me and just play devil's advocate. Mm.
It's fun.
It is fun. And
well,
it's,
plus, then you see where people come from.
You also figure out what you think more.
How is there truth without words? How do we get any truth? How do we discuss truth?
We just experience it. But once we start talking about it,
so you think we should all be monks? We shouldn't.
No. I think it's perfect like this. Like the world only makes sense to me, and history only makes sense to me if it's on the way to something. Like what I like to believe is all the war and suffering that's happened in history
mm-hmm.
has been there in order to create technology to get life from this planet to other planets, so that we have something in the future. Like, the only reason we're here, we care, is that we think somebody's going to listen to this.
Do you think like we're assembling this in real time, or this is a predestined plan? Or do you think that this is...
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Because what I'm getting from you, mm-hmm. If I may,
yeah.
is, like, it's like, say when you go on stage and you're about to try, you have an idea for a bit, but you don't know where it's going to go, and you start throwing out these concepts that create a little conflict because mm-hmm. it's not going well or whatever... And then you finally, you're like, oh, this! I have to get off this planet. This planet is destroyed. Uh-huh. Let's get to the next planet. That's not predestined, but I like because that's how I see humanity is a like an improvised thing that is just like rumbling and tumbling towards the next planet.
Yeah, it's not like God's
yeah,
plan. Or
exactly,
whatever.
That's exactly how I see it.
You do see it that way.
But the thing I get out of that is that there's going to be somebody in the future to look back and go, you know, they're going to have their own problems, mm-hmm. and they're going to look back, and they're going to hypothesize somebody like me, and they're going to go, wow, somebody went through, somebody got born, went, you know, got up, you know, every day, mm-hmm. maybe took cold showers, maybe didn't,
Right.
Maybe got on a podcast.
Right.
Did all these things that supported culture. And as the result, me speaking as this being in mm-hmm. the future. And that's the only reason I'm here thinking about it. Like, there's going to be something, something that would recognize.
So the idea of legacy?
Well, in the same sense that possibly, in the same sense that the power that of the juice of our conversation is in that we believe that somebody's going to be listening to it.
But I don't think so.
You sound
I,
okay.
See, yeah, yeah. I don't create this because I know people are listening. I create mm-hmm. this because I want to, you know? Like I don't
I desperately want people to listen.
But I'm saying is if whether people are listening to it or not, I will still want to have a conversation.
I know, we've been doing it with nobody listening for 71 episodes.
But it would be
just kidding, Brondell.
At least a few. But it informs the conversation.
Mm-hmm. But
your belief in it. Your belief that somebody's going to listen, that affects how you're saying things. We talk about the bidet.
If I may, I'm not Louis C.K. or Patrice O'Neill. I'm not the psychological comic. But what I'm getting from this mm-hmm. thing that you've created is that you never spoke Spanish, right?
Not fluently. No.
And you went to schools that spoke Spanish?
They were English-speaking schools.
Because
did you get a lot of shit for being Puerto Rican and not speaking Spanish?
Only the shit I get.
Have you had a hard time connecting with people when you were a kid? Like,
I was very isolated.
Because
I lived like a monk when I was a little kid.
It sounds...
Which is why you hate words so much, is you think we should all be monks.
Well, I'm a writer.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I'm a big liar. I mean, I'm like, holy shit. Like, but it's, you know, it's the intention that
But this philosophy that you're talking about where mm-hmm. my reason for being here is to be a participant in a bigger picture mm-hmm. includes you in a way that maybe you don't feel included right now in the moment on Earth. But you're like, but I am a part of the big picture, and it creates this connection to mm. humanity that maybe is missing.
Because I feel like are you saying like I experience myself as being outside of culture?
Right.
And then...
Community. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like having this philosophy, you really are a participant in the big picture, which feels like a nice warm blanket.
Yeah, that's fair.
Of
yeah,
inclusivity.
Yeah. I want to give you a hug. Yeah, thanks, man.
You are a writer, and you did put out a book.
That's right.
And what's it called?
Take Me With You.
Take Me With You.
See, if you email me, I'll send you a copy.
Is it about dual suicide, like homicide suicide combos?
See, is there any suicide?
Take me with you. If you're gonna go out, let me put my temple next to your temple.
It doesn't have a bit of that vibe. It has a little bit of that vibe. There's a little suicide-y. It's a book of poetry and short stories.
Uh-huh.
And I need to re-edit it because the copy
I have a copy. Yeah.
Gave you or did you buy it or did
you gave it to me?
Gave it to
me. way to put me on the spot there.
I wanted you to have it because you really our conversations driving down to Long mm-hmm. Beach.
Yeah, yeah.
At work we worked together. Yeah, that really helped inform. Like you brought things out in me that you know and gave me courage to express myself and actually get things down on paper.
I'd like to point out you guys wouldn't have had that, all those thoughts without words and conversation.
That is true. Hey, I got nothing against words. I'm just saying they're full of shit.
Sure.
They're full of nothing. They're full of
but
nothing.
But then again, so is everything that we've said. It's
absolutely.
All nothing.
So this
but
all
that's
comes,
what makes it beautiful.
Let me give a plug, first of all, to my wife's amazing album called If I Said Only So Far, I Take It Back. Her name is Mia Dyson. If you go to her website, miadyson.com, then you can
D-Y-S-O-N?
See that.
D-Y-S-O-N.
She's the real deal. She's real legit.
Yeah, she's got
it. For you music fans, she recorded her album at Muscle Shoals, if that gives you any idea of what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a professional.
She has a beautiful, smoky whiskey voice, and I can't get her to drink enough whiskey, but she still has the whiskey mm-hmm. voice. And I helped her write it.
Yeah.
The other plug I wanted to give was for Douglas Harding, which gave me he's got this set of experiments mm-hmm. that distinguish or that help me realize, help me perceive nothing. So I can sit in nothing. I can rest in nothing, and nobody can take that away from me.
You think that's why that's what the purpose of meditation is?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah.
To get everything out of your head so there is an absence of things
mm-hmm.
equal
yeah.
nothing.
If there was a Jesus Christ, I would say he was less than us. he is what we are if we took our personalities away, out of the way.
I also, that's how I feel about G.G. Allen.
I keep trying to say, G.G. Oh Allen? Who's that?
I really do. Dude, I don't know why you scolded me. I really think G.G. Allen is our generation's Jesus Christ, in a sense. not that sounds way bigger than what I actually mean.
Yeah.
But he was an animalistic performer who would like grab people's heads and jam it, his cock into their face and throw shit. And like, unfortunately, he was also a heroin addict. But I mean, what I thought he was.
Yeah.
He is like all the taboos of society, and it just gets it out of the way. Yeah. When you go see G.G. Allen, he does everything you're not supposed to do, and you get it out of the way, and he was put himself less than us, but really what he was doing was elevating us.
Yeah.
I get real deep about G.G. Allen.
No, I get it. It's like the whole, it's like Stuart Lee's Apache clown thing. Mm-hmm. I get the idea, for sure, but at the same time, so you think then, how would Jesus Christ have been doing that if he was trying to...
I don't think he was doing what G.G. Allen was doing. I think it's the exact opposite thing, where G.G. Allen was doing all the taboo things in our society. I think Jesus Christ was probably the opposite.
He hung out with hookers.
Did he?
Yeah, he hung out with hookers and tax collectors, with the most hated.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where he went.
I like half that group.
And big fan of the tax collector, huh?
Uh-huh. Those whores and kind of rotten hell.
You guys, I love talking to you guys.
Yeah.
We got to do the Gripe of the Week.
It's the Gripe of the Week.
It's the Gripe of the Week. Gripe of the Week from Jasmine Gong is when people cross the street when they see my dog. Yes, he's big. No, he doesn't give a fuck about your dog. Just be a better person.
Oh, I disagree wholeheartedly with that. And I really wish that Ryan Singer and or what's his name? Tommy John again was on here to talk about that. You don't get to decide whether or not somebody has had a chunk of their calf ripped out by a dog that looks similarly to your dog. Like, you don't, you're not a bad person. That's like, oh God, that's a woman? Okay. What if you crossed the street when you saw somebody who looked like Louis C.K. because you knew what Louis C.K. did? Like, you're informing yourself off your past experiences. Another bad analogy.
When motherfuckers loan something that you let them borrow, when they loan out something that you let them borrow.
Oh,
well, that's
right. Oh, Keith has it now. Why the fuck did you give it to Keith?
Yeah,
that is great, because it's like if you were babysitting somebody's baby and then the parents came home like, "Where's the baby?" Oh, I gave it to my friend because they love babies. Like, it would be.
Well, are you paying somebody to hold on to this book? That's where the difference in that analogy
is. Well, if you were just watching it for free, if you were babysitting somebody's kid for free, if it was like a friend or family member, if you were
at
like,
least I could acknowledge when my analogy stinks.
What if you just needed oxytocin really bad, and you're like, "Hey, can I borrow your baby and cuddle him for a little while?"
Yeah,
and then you gave him to the next door neighbor to cuddle
because
they
works.
Needed some oxytocin.
And then
you're loaning somebody else's baby out for cuddle time. That sounds brutal.
That's probably why people have kids. Just,
that's absolutely why people have kids.
I need a cuddle.
So
it doesn't run away.
That gripe is great. My only problem with that gripe is I don't like it when people steal from me. Yeah, no shit.
Well, no, it's not. It's not stealing. It's like
it is.
It's not.
It's fancy stealing.
If you borrowed my my Neverending Story DVD and I let you borrow it, and then he was like, "Oh shit, I've never seen the Neverending Story,"
yeah.
And then you let him borrow it. I mean, eventually I might get it back, but the fact that I didn't give it to you to be given out to fucking anybody.
You stole from a person and figured out a way to steal from them and feel good about yourself.
Because
you're like, "Oh, I'm helping this other person out."
I'm going to have to look up
with
steal
somebody else's
and
shit.
Etymology.com.
I don't think that's stealing. It's borrowing.
It's coverage.
Yeah, because you have every intention of giving it back. You're not stealing
it. Disrespectful.
It is fucking disrespectful as shit. I like that gripe. Gripe of the week from Julia Noren. When you're trying to use a roll of masking tape, but the last person who used it didn't fold over the end to make a tab, and you waste half of the roll trying to peel off a clean, unbroken piece of tape that isn't split down the middle. That is a pain in the ass, especially if you don't have if you don't have nails. Like, you ain't got no fucking nails.
No, I have
you
anxiety.
Sawed them off.
I hate it when it's me that does that.
I eat my nails. That is very obnoxious.
Jackie Burns' gripe of the week is, my landlord won't let me put the utilities in my name and wants us to include it in our rent, but gives us the bill the day it's due instead of 15 days prior when she receives it because she's a giant cunt. Also, it's hot as fuck in New York City, and I hate this fucking weather.
All
right.
I'm with you on all that, Jackie. Although yeah, I do wish I lived in New York. I've been thinking a lot about moving to New York recently, thinking about it.
That constantly. Place terrifies me. I drove through once when I was 19 on the out from Fort Dix, New Jersey, a little army training. We drove through New York, and I blacked out. I was like, I could not survive in this city.
It was just sensory overload?
Yeah, I was like, I would not survive. They would eat, I would be on the curb Puerto in 15 Rican minutes.
City. It's just a different Puerto Rican city.
Nobody can tell I'm Puerto Rican.
Yeah, that's true.
I look like
that's
an
also just your own perception. Like, you already thought you were going to be eaten that's just true. Because you're small, but small means fast. Fast means can evade danger. That's so true. It's just...
Fuck your landlord, though, Jackie.
Seriously. Your landlord is a piece of shit.
Everybody I know who lives in New York has just a vicious landlord. Just vicious. Like, that's manipulative shit.
You got people in New York listening to you.
Here's one about here's one about politeness. Gripe of the week from Joe Dosh. When a stranger comes up and asks you a relatively benign question like, hey, where's the bathroom? And you answer, and then they walk away without saying thank you. As if you're not a human being, but a fucking customer service rep installed here by life to make sure that you have a pleasant fucking experience.
I do enjoy manners. We talked with Billy about that a little bit. And I agree. A little thank you goes a long way.
Even just a head nod, like a little, just any kind of fucking acknowledgement that this person just made the next few seconds of your life like more manageable. Because you obviously were incapable of finding the bathroom by yourself. You're the one that's fucking up, you piece of shit.
Right.
Say thank you.
I like manners too, but it's a trap. Like the Tao says, once you have manners, then you have politeness. Once you have politeness, then you have rules. Once you have rules, you have laws. And once you have laws, it's only a matter of time before people are eating each other raw on the street.
I agree with all of that too. I have no stance. That sounds really real to me. But I wonder where in that
cycle we are right now.
But I also, with the manners thing though, like I feel like we all spend so much time like at the DMV or like trying to get a code text to us so we can install an app on our phone, and we just feel like numbers. And sometimes when you say like thank you, it reminds you you're a human because you're getting dehumanized.
Yeah, it's a connection.
Constantly.
It just means you want to eat people raw on the street. I think that's what it means.
Hey, that's maybe that's part of the experience that we're missing out on.
That's true.
Looking into each other's eyes and saying, thank you, I want to bite your neck off. What is wrong with that?
Nothing. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with saying, thank you, I want to bite your neck off. But once you cross that line into biting the neck off, then things get a little sticky.
It might be like getting literally. In a cold shower. It might be awesome.
You never know. Minded,
yeah like, I've never bit.
20 years, that'll be the new serotonin treatment. Yeah, guys, you got to bite somebody's esophagus out. Like, you'll never feel that much. It makes MDMA look like fucking alcohol.
And they're going to love it, too.
Yeah.
Ryan Timothy, his gripe of the week is when a good pair of underwear gets so soaked through with ball sweat that the cotton breaks down, you develop holes, and you spend all day getting chub rub on your inner thighs.
Is that why we get the shotgun holes? Is from sweat?
I guess from it, like, because it softens the cotton.
Well, I got to tell you, Ryan, I went to Walmart, and I got some moisture-wicking boxers in Wisconsin, and moisture-wicking is where it's at, and that won't happen.
That's basically the Under Armour shit? You got Under Armour?
Yeah,
underwear?
It's not Under Armour brand, though. Yeah. Yeah. I went.
That dry weave shit? Yeah.
Yeah.
Support Trump.
So who do you think
Under Armour supports Trump?
That's what I heard. You know what? I'm spreading rumors. Don't listen to me.
That's fine. They also support Steph Curry.
Is that an Indian food?
No, it's a basketball player who's sponsored by Under Armour. It's Indian food. Your disconnection from sports is admirable.
And it's pretty complete.
Who do you guys think got Grape of the Week?
Well, the most interesting conversation, I think, was set off from that second one there, the borrowing stuff.
Yeah, the borrowing from other people.
And with Jackie's, I didn't like either, or I liked it, but the landlord, it's just landlords stink in general, and that's a brutal thing. And the weather in New York is intense, but I think I'm a big fan of the gripes that are like that somebody is screwing Jackie over. So, of course, that's a gripe.
Yeah, that's
I like the things that are more petty, usually.
Oh, the tape.
You like the tape one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate that. I hate it when people do that.
So it's a toss up between tape and
borrowing. You guys rock, paper, scissor for it.
All right. Ready? Hold on. We're going to do 1, 2, 3, shoot.
Yeah, I'll do it. Ready? Brian's borrowing. Yep. Carl is tape. 1, 2, 3, shoot. Carl won. So it is
tape.
The tape. You're the gripe of the week, baby. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Carl, thanks so
Chinese
much.
Chinese accent. Thank you. Thank you.
He's having a stroke. He's having a stroke.
My inner samurai was coming out.
No, sir,
out.
I don't like it. No, no, sir, I don't like it.
Carl, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much. For
Tell everybody
me.
Where to find you on the internet.
How do they find your book?
My book, you'll have to email me, carljlinder@gmail.com. So it's K-A-R-L. JLINDER@gmail.com and then MiaDyson.com. You can find more of my writing and her music.
And her music's all over YouTube and she's got videos. She's
videos
on tour.
And iTunes and Spotify. And
yep. The book's with her on tour too, right?
Like yes.
Yes.
The book's called Take Me With You. It's wonderful. Check it out. You guys also follow us on all the assorted social media at NoSirPod, at Brian J. Vokey, at The Funny Carmen, at.
I wasn't listening.
What's your?
Do you participate in social media at all? Twitter, Instagram?
Oh, not really. No.
Okay. Yeah. Just okay. Email him at Carl J. Linder.
But you can find Mia Dyson.
Mia Dyson.
Yeah, Mia Dyson. She's on all that.
We should play one of her songs.
Sure.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
Email us at nosirpod@gmail.com. Subscribe to our shit. Give us a nice like on the iTunes so we can get bumped up. You guys are wonderful. Thanks so much for listening.
Woo!
I tell myself not to be a fool. It comes so naturally to me. It's all I'll ever be. I tell myself to grow up, get serious, and all I wanna be.
guys, if you want to support No Sir, I Don't Like It podcast, please go to brianvokey.com and click on the Amazon banner. You guys, you don't get charged more or anything like that. We just get a little kickback on the back of on the back end. So make sure you guys go to brianvokey.com. That's BRYANVOKEY.com and click on the Amazon banner and then shop like you regularly would. And we get a little money. It goes towards the podcast. Thank you.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
What the fuck is the fucking matter? What the stupid one?
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.